Let's pray and let's ask God to bless us in our time of study together. Father, thank you so much for giving us joyful hearts, joyful spirits, Lord, in the midst of the strife and the struggle of this world. You've made a way for us to be able to laugh a little bit. I'm so thankful for that, Lord, that no matter how bad things are, that we can truly find joy in life and especially find joy in you. Lord, you have promised that you'll bring abundance of joy to our soul if we just allow you to fill us up with your presence. And so that's what I ask that we do right now. I pray that we let you in and just let you in all the way. Open the door of our heart and let you dwell and reside in us. That way we might be able to experience the fullness of your presence now. And that as we study and as we learn and we grow together, Father, I just pray that it will be because we desire to seek you, that we desire to please you, that we grow in closer devotion to you, Lord, because not only is it something that you want us to do for you, but you've told us it is something we should do for ourselves. Because we know that, Lord, a life lived for you is not only pleasing in your eyes, but it's pleasing to us too. You have made a way for us to have a good life in the midst of all the wrong and the problems that surround us, and you did that through Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus that I ask that you speak to every heart through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you open us up to the word that you have to proclaim to us today, that we might be able to take what we've heard, take what we've experienced, Lord, and seek to live better and more devout lives for you, that it might be pleasing to you, pleasing to us, but it also might help somebody who is surrounding us. It might help encourage their walk as well. Maybe even help someone start on a walk for you and with you that hasn't before. I pray, Lord, that you give us grace and strength as we seek joy in your word, but also as we might feel conviction. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't done so already, please turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I think it was good that we had a little bit of a laugh because this is a pretty serious topic today. Colossians chapter 1. I encourage you to turn there with me. Grab a pew Bible if there's one in front of you. Turn to verse 15 once you are there. Colossians chapter 1, being in verse 15 and reading through verse 23. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. I want to share with you a lesson I learned while I was at Johnson. And it was a lesson that has stuck with me and I know will continue to stick with me. And this is it. That everything hinges on Christ Jesus. Everything hinges on Christ Jesus. The very first lesson that I learned during my time there, and one that continued throughout my time at Johnson as we studied the scriptures together for those 4 years. Everything hinges on Christ Jesus. So no matter whether we were studying a passage or preparing to preach, we were employed to remember that everything hinges on Jesus. Whether it be studying an Old Testament passage concerning food preparation laws, or even reading a passage such as this from one of Paul's letters. It was indoctrinated in us in a good way, repetitiously reminded that everything hinges on Christ, that everything hinges on His first coming, that everything hinges on His dying, His resurrection, and now everything continues to hinge upon His second coming. For the Scriptures tell us that He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He started all we know into motion, and one day He will call everything we know to an end in those last and final days and moments. Again, everything hinges on Christ Jesus. Remember this. As we study today, remember this. Now, as we spoke of last week, we are to live to please God because of all He's done for us through Jesus. In fact, jumping back a few verses to verse 13 of the passage we have read this morning, Paul summarizes Jesus' mission so clearly when he said, "For He, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Church, if you don't know this, you need to. I'm sure you do, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded that we needed Jesus. That we needed Jesus, and guess what? We still do. We still need Jesus just as much now as we ever have. We needed Jesus, and God so freely gave Him to us. God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I'm so glad you know that. I'm so glad it's ingrained in our minds, this verse. Because you see, God loves us. But remember this too, as Paul said in Colossians here, that God loved His Son. Now, I don't know of any, if many, earthly fathers who would do what the kind of thing that God has done, would lay down the life of their own son for the betterment of someone else. But you see, that's the difference between us and God. And it's okay if you feel like that. That'd be a very hard choice to make. And I thank God that He made that choice. The only one who really and truly can. The one who had something great to offer, but at such great of a cost. You see, God is love. Everything we understand about love is from God. Granted, sometimes we use it in a bad fashion, a perverted manner, love that we know, but yet what we know in its purest form about love is from God. And it tells us that not only did God love us, but you have to remember that God loved His Son as well. And it's because God loved us that Jesus saw how much He should love us as well. Remember, God the Father, God the Son. He learned everything He knew from His daddy. Because of God's love, He took on that love for us as well. Because God loves us beyond our faults and our failures, because He sees our true and deep need, Jesus saw that same need as well and loved us in the same fashion, enough that He might die for us, that He shed His blood for our redemption. But not only so, that He rose again, that we might rise with Him as well in those last days. You see, church, God came near in the person of Jesus, and everything hinges upon Him. The Apostle John tells us that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. You see, church, it was in that moment when the Word became flesh that the invisible God became a man, that He clothed Himself in flesh and bones just like us, the one in whom made all of creation, was there and had just as much a part of it as God the Father, the one in whom all of creation stems from, became created himself. And we are told from the book of Genesis that in those beginnings, that God turned to Jesus. He turned to the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Let us make mankind in our image. Let us make mankind in our image." You see, before any human ever set foot on the earth, was even created, Jesus had a hand in us. And don't only forget Jesus, but the Holy Spirit too. The Holy Spirit had a hand in us as well. Because Jesus and the Holy Spirit were there for a purpose. God gathered him into himself in that very moment, in that critical place, for one central purpose in the beginning of mankind's history. And it's this. It's because one day, Jesus and the Holy Spirit would be dwelling in and among mankind. We are made in their likeness also because they came to dwell in and among us. The writer of Hebrews tells us in the second chapter that since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those all their lives who were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, he had, not that he chose, but he had to be made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted. And now he is able to help those who are being tempted. I love that last verse. Listen to that again one more time. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I love that last verse because it tells us that Jesus understands us, that God knows us, that Jesus suffered as we do when he was tempted walking on this earth. He has felt the difficulty of the hard choice between God's will and self-will, between the desire to do what he knows God wants and would have, and to do what he wants and what he desires in his human nature. The scriptures tell us very plainly that he knows the pain of this choice. Yet there's one thing that sets him apart from us in this area of life. It's that he did not sin. And he did not sin because he knew that we needed him. He knew that we needed him not to sin. He knew that we needed him to be that perfect sacrifice. You see, church, we do not have a high priest, as the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, that is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Not just in some ways, but in every way, tempted just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, with boldness, chest stuck out, because we know of what Christ has done with us, so that we might receive mercy and that we might find grace to help us in our time of need. Despite the sinfulness in your life, you can traipse right to the throne room of God through the person of Jesus and bear your needs yet still before the Lord, because he understands who we are because of Jesus. You see, this pleased God the Father to have all the fullness dwell, all of His grace and glory and majesty to be contained in the person of Jesus. Because God didn't just want to forgive the sinner. No, He wanted to understand the sinner. That's why Jesus can empathize with us. That is why He understands our weakness. And that is what makes the death of Christ that much more special for us. That He saw how we lived. Church, there's nothing new under the sun. We may call it something else. We might do something in a little bit of a different way. But the things that Jesus saw while He was on this earth is the same things that people are doing now. You have done nothing new that no one else has done, and you will not do anything new that anyone else has done. You may call it something else, but it is still sin. It's still wrong in the eyes of God. Jesus was here. He experienced it. He saw how we lived. He watched us sin. He saw the poor decisions, and He saw how it hurt the heart of God the Father, and how our sin pushed us further away from Him. But yet, He saw the hurt and He saw the pain that sin caused our lives. He saw the momentary enjoyment and excitement of sin soon give way to shame, emptiness, and despair. He saw how that in which promised us great things let us down time and time again. As Paul said in Colossians, Jesus saw how our sin alienated us from God. And I love this about Jesus. I love a lot of things about Jesus. I don't know if you can tell that or not, but and I know you do too. But I love the fact that Jesus couldn't stand to see us like this. That He came and He lived around us. He saw how we were, and He still stayed the course to the cross. He saw how people lived. He saw what they did to Him, the terrible things that they said and the lies that were made about Jesus. How people rejected Him, and yet He still went to the cross. He didn't come down, church. Your sins and mine and all those who have been born and all those who will still yet to be born, all the sins of all the world laid upon the shoulders of Christ, continuing to crush Him beneath the load. And He didn't come down. I'm so glad that He didn't come down, because He very well could have. He had every right to come down. But He couldn't stand to see us the way we were without His help and hope, without the redemption of the shedding of blood. He stayed on that cross because He knew that we couldn't help how we are as sinful people. He knows that even though we do one good thing, sin is still crouching at our doorstep. That even though we try to do right, wrong is still very much behind us all the days of our life. He knew how we were. He knew that we couldn't help it. And that is why He who knew no sin became sin for us. Through His sinless life, we who are sinful can know what freedom from the bonds of Satan and his lies can be. Church, we really don't know what being in slavery is like until we get that taste of freedom. We don't know what being in a hopeless situation is like until we find and see an experience, an ounce of hope, a glimmer of hope. Jesus told us that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That offer still stands. And He's waiting for people who don't know they're in bondage to take Him up on His offer and to see just how much abundant life through Christ can change your existence, can change your everyday presence and everyday being. And because He sets us free, and even though one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God the Father, we're going to answer for all the wrong things we've done. And there are going to be more wrong things than there are going to be right things. Let's just be honest, folks. Even on our best days, we still fall way, way, way short. Now, we get better at being good when we get older, I hope, and pray. But there's still going to be a lot of things that are going to make us blush, that we're going to be embarrassed by when we stand before God, before His judgment seat. Every single one of us are going to be there. But yet, because of Jesus, rest assured that through Him and through the cleansing of His blood, we can stand before God with confidence that our sins have been forgiven and that they can no longer hold us. Because Jesus chose to be pierced for our transgressions, that He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And how does it end? By His wounds. We are healed. By His wounds, we are healed. Church, that's the gospel message. Right there. That is the gospel. That God came near in Jesus. That God came near in Jesus. And everything hinges upon Him. You see, church, there would be no gospel and no good news if it were not for Jesus. There would be no joy in salvation if it were not for Jesus. And there would be no hope in heaven if it were not for Jesus. But not only these things, but everything hinges upon Jesus. And if you don't believe me that everything in your life and everything that you know hinges upon Jesus, consider this. That your potential joy in the midst of your sorrow and pain could be one prayer of faith away in Jesus' name. That your broken life could be restored through one prayer of faith in Jesus' name. That your hurting family could be one step away from a total healing and total restoration following one prayer of faith in Jesus' name. That the failures of your past could be washed away through one prayer of faith made in Jesus' name. And you could find every need, not desires, but every need supplied through one prayer of faith in whose name? Jesus. Don't be afraid to say that. Don't be ashamed to say that. Because the more you use that name, the more power you're going to feel and experience in your life. The more the presence of God will be near you. Because whenever you say that name, whenever you make a prayer, as we are taught in the New Testament, that every prayer you make, make it in Jesus' name. Invoke the name of God. Make an invitation for Him to come and be present with you right there. And though your answer may not come in that very moment, you will receive the peace of God, the comfort of the Spirit, the hopefulness that waits for those who call upon the Lord. You'll receive that very presence right when you invoke the name of Jesus. But it will not happen unless we give Him an invitation. Church, because everything hinges upon Him. You are one step away from the greatest blessing in your life. Whatever your need might be. Like I told you several weeks ago, I don't know what you need. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I'm praying for you, and God is clamoring for you to pray to Him. You're one prayer of faith away in Jesus' name for the greatest blessing in your life. No matter what that need may be, it hinges upon Jesus. And even what seems to be these godless days in this troublesome world, Jesus is still reaching out and calling out to those who will listen to His voice. Amidst the hustling, clamoring world, it's sometimes hard to hear the voice of God speaking to our souls. But But He still speaks, and we can know His voice. He still speaks, and we can know His voice. And church, no sweeter sound that's ever been heard by mortal ear is other than that of the voice of God speaking peace right into your very soul. And this is the wonderful part, and to think that God, by His own choice, would choose to speak to people like you and me. Well, church, that needs to make us rejoice. To think that God would even speak to us needs to make us rejoice. Church, I need to remind you, He still speaks. And if you listen, you can know His voice. Remember, everything. Repetition for a reason. Everything hinges upon Jesus. Everything in your life hinges upon Him. But that's my question. Does your life hinge upon Jesus? Do the situations and troubles of life that you may find yourself in, do they hinge upon Jesus? Even in the midst of your happiness and your joy, and I hope that many or most of us are experiencing the happiness and joy that we can find in the Lord, but are those moments hinging upon Jesus? Are you giving Him grace and glory for what you experience right now? The thankfulness that you can raise? Can you hear His voice? Can you hear His voice? Because God's already come near in Jesus, but He still wants to come even closer to you. He came near all of humanity at one time, but He individually desires to come close to every single one of us, so much so that He seeks to take care of our individual needs. So God will come near, church, if you will allow Him, and the question that remains is, will you? Will you allow Jesus to be the hinge upon which your life rests? Pray with me. I thank You, Lord, for this time and this place, for what we've experienced here and the word that we have heard and the Spirit that has been among us. And I pray, Lord, that we are listening right now to Your voice speaking. But not only so that we're listening just now, but that we'll continue to listen. You teach us, Lord, that if we walk in Your ways and in Your likeness, if we seek Your face, we can know You in this world. Lord, You know there's a lot that surrounds us. Many of us feel as if we may be living in the last days. We don't know, but we're surely closer now than we ever have been. We live to see tomorrow. We'll be closer tomorrow than we were today. And so, Father, I just pray that in these difficult times when we live, that it's all sometimes hard to see you especially as we should, that You'll speak to us and that You'll teach us what Your voice sounds like and how to listen to You. But You came near in Jesus, and You've told us that our life not only could, but should rest upon Him. Lord, You've told us that we can find so much in Your Son, that we can walk more easily through these days with You than without You. That, Lord, no matter what came our way, that we walked with You, and that made it bearable. You promised us not that there were going to be all easy days when we accepted Your Son, but You've told us very clearly that there were going to be hard days. But You promised that You would bear them with us and that You wouldn't leave us or forsake us. And I pray right now that whoever's hearing Your voice, whoever's listening intently to You, will continue to listen to You despite the things that are clamoring for their attention. That they will know that You have come close, and You'll come even closer if we allow You. So, Father, we give you this moment. We give you ourselves now. We open our hearts up to you. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Thank you for coming near in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.